Hi, welcome to the Brown and Happy podcast. In our time together, I will share what it means to be brown and happy. For many of us, everything looks good on paper, but we're still not happy and living fulfilled lives. It's time to change this, and I can help. I'm your host, Dr. Payal Patel Gayal. Hello, lovely ladies. I'm back, and I'm going to continue the conversation that I started last time about embracing you, right? And this means, especially in this space that I'm in, is embracing the brown that I am. And in particular, I'm going to talk about colorism today. And some of you may not know or may not been exposed to this topic, but I'm sure those of you who identify as being brown, right? And, you know, it could be partially brown. It could be like South Asian, Hispanic, Middle Eastern, like you name it, it covers a huge umbrella. And for me, I identify as being brown, but I spent a lot of my years kind of hiding and rejecting that part of me. And maybe some of it had to do with just the idea of like needing and wanting to assimilate. I don't want to say it was just a spontaneous idea. I think there was a component of my parents trying to protect me and say, don't stand out, right? Like I was a first generation immigrant. I mentioned this a lot, but it's so important to who I am. And so, you know, I was living in California, not a lot of people who look like me in my school. And I remember just trying to fit in all the time. And I thought it was fascinating that I did that because now looking back on it, I love being brown and there's so much beauty and preciousness in just loving who you are and all of you and not just part of you, right? And this doesn't mean you have to love your anxiety, you have to love your depression, you have to love your fears, but it's a part of who you are, right? And our families, our culture, that's a big part of who we are. So what I found recently, and I really want to say recently, I think it's in the last 5 years, I'm going back in that direction, right? Like one day I went on Netflix and I was like, you know what? I miss watching all the old school Bollywood movies. And that's actually how I learned Hindi. I don't speak any other Indian language growing up other than what we spoke in my family, which is Gujarati. And I speak many languages now, but I just learned by listening and watching. And so I went back and I really enjoyed, like, I think this is post-COVID, but I still enjoyed all those things. So where am I getting, right? Colorism, right? In our community, and I want to say in particular my experience, the way that colorism came up for me this week is I put on a yellow dress and I put a picture of it on social media. And I talked about how yellow is my color and I never knew until now. And I thought it was fascinating that I never wore this color. And when one of my friends asked me, well, what did you wear before this if you didn't wear this color? And it took me a minute to think about why didn't I wear yellow before? And I had to go deep. I had to go to my early years. And I distinctly recall a sentence that I heard from, I want to say my dad, you know, and mind you, apparently I'm his favorite, but he doesn't like to admit it. My sister has like lighter skin than I do. She looks like more Armenian. It's kind of interesting because she has like the dark hair and the lighter skin. And so he would kind of like, you know, buy us stuff. We go shopping. He would be like, you know, Payal, like these colors look so good on you. Like the more like pastels and more muted colors and looks really well with your skin tone. And then for my sister, she was recommended to wear more of the contrasting to her skin tone, which is brighter colors. And I think that's so interesting that I took that with me like into college years. I remember my friends who are probably listening to this asking me, like, why do you only wear these colors? And I was like, I don't know. I think this is what looks good on me. And I kept it going until I hit my mid-30s. And then I started experimenting, right? And I realized that every time I showed up with a different color, I felt so good. Even if it was uncomfortable, I felt good because I was seeing myself in a new light. And to be honest, the amount of people that stopped me in that yellow dress a couple days ago, it was like amazing. I went to just get my morning Starbucks, and in 20 minutes, I had four people stop me, random people, to tell me how good I looked. So that's why I brought it to social media, not realizing that I was uncovering some of this cultural generational conditioning until my friend asked that question. And I'm sure we can apply this to a lot of different things, but in this situation, how did one sentence, one belief, right? That, you know, and I want to say it's not a problem that my dad said this. You know, he was acting from his best interest, right? Like what he thought was best for me, right? So he was like trying to protect me and wanted me to look and feel good. So I think it's very helpful, and I tell my clients this all the time, looking back to our past choices, our past experiences, not necessarily making them wrong or bad, but just acknowledging that it's possible that the people in our lives did the best they could. And this is not referring to abuse, right? That's a whole different topic. But my dad acted in his best, my best interest. Like, oh, this is very nice. And he thought that he was really like good at matching and fashion. And he used to work back in the day, if you guys remember what May Company was, it's like Nordstrom bought them out, but he used to work in the men's department. And so he kind of understood like patterns. So that's not a problem that my dad said this. But what's interesting is knowing that he was doing the best he could. And also I've been carrying this really false belief about myself into my adult life. And I get to decide if I want to continue to carry this on for me and for future generations. So the definition of colorism is prejudice or discrimination against individuals with a dark skin tone, typically among people of the same ethnic or racial group. 100%. So if I don't know if you guys recall, but I did share that I did my medical training abroad. I was in India, and I've shared before how this was against my parents' wishes. Mind you, that's a different episode. But I didn't realize, I mean, subconsciously, yes, but until I got there, I didn't realize how many fairness creams were sold in India. I was like, maybe I didn't even realize it then, because there's Fair and Lovely, there's Fairness, this and that, right? And there's so much emphasis on skin color, especially for women. And I went to school in a place where comparatively, I would be considered lighter skin because I went to school closer to the equator. And there's so much like resentment, so much shame, so much judgment. Even when a baby's born, I'm sure you guys are like thinking about how are you experienced this, but like people comment on that, right? And for some reason, society and people think it's okay to comment on physical appearances of others. It's been happening, so what's the big deal? It is a big deal because it sends messages to all of us. And I want you guys to take a minute and think about the messages that have been sent to you. And also, what are you subconsciously sending to the next generation? And how do you, and this is, I think, a really great one, how do you treat other people who are from your same ethnic and racial background? I can tell you that when we saw other brown people in LA, which was very rare because I grew up, you know, in LA, and I know Jersey's a whole different story, New York's a different story, right? But like there would be this stare down, right? And I think it's crazy that in our community, we don't lift each other up, right? And I want to say this is a general, our community, we can say in women, right? How are we towards other women? Do we gravitate towards them? Do we support them in our workplaces? How are we towards them in our own homes? Honestly, what have we experienced in our own families, right? And I want to say our own birth families and also the families, if we married into. These are all things I want to think about. I want us to think about. You know, I know that I've experienced, you know, a different treatment because of, you know, who I am in relation to that, right? Like, how do we treat our daughters versus daughter-in-laws, right? How do you treat your sisters versus your sister-in-laws? I just think it's such a helpful conversation to start today. And I wanted to kind of initiate this because recently I've been finding myself following more and more people who are promoting like the conversation that, you know what, all colors are good, right? And color is just color. And so I actually posted on my social media, but I started using tinted products because the owner is a South Asian woman who, you know, created a brand for women of color and particular brown women. And actually just am waiting for a book to arrive. It's called The Black Rose by Shweta Agarwal. And I actually asked her to come on this podcast to see if we can talk about this topic in depth. So this month, I'm focusing on Down with the Brown in the most loving, kind way. I want to lift up our community. I want to lift up the way we think about ourselves and the women in our community. And I keep saying women, you know, I have guys come to me and it's interesting how they also face similar things. But, you know, many years I didn't come out of the closet and talk about, you know, who I work with because I felt like I wanted to be inclusive. And the reality is by being inclusive, I was excluding all of you. So I'm a coach for brown women who seem to have it all, but still aren't happy. There you go. Have a lovely day, guys. This is just the beginning. We're going to keep talking about embracing you, loving you, accepting you, and how to do it. And if you're listening and thinking, well, Pyle, great idea, but how do I do it? That's what I do, right? I teach you, I work with you, I teach you tools to do this, go deeper, apply it in your life, and then we actually evaluate how did it go when you tried this new tool out. I love doing what I'm doing, and I know that there is very few people in my space who look like me. And I think it's important for us to hire, invest in women who look like us, who ask them to be our mentors, right? Lift each other up. It's been long enough that we've been hiring people because of our colonization, you know, those not in our community, right? Those who don't understand our culture. The best thing that one of my clients said to me when she signed up after working with someone else who didn't had the same culture and color is, it was easier for me to hide when I work with them and I knew that you'd call out all my BS. And I said, good, I'm happy you came because the only way we can grow is if we do call out our own BS. And it happens to me all the time when I'm getting coached with my coaches. So you're not alone, guys. I am so looking forward to hearing back from you guys. If you're not already getting emails from me, get on my list so you can get access to all the workshops and coaching, open coaching that I do. And if you're like, you know what? I don't need all that. I want this. I want what she has. Book your consultation to work with me and fill up the last few spots I have because I cannot wait to meet you. Have a lovely day, guys. Hey, if you're finally ready to start being happy, I invite you to join my list. This is where you'll have access to all my workshops, coaching, and pearls. Just head to my website, payalgahl.com. That's payalgahl. And join my list. I can't wait to meet you.